From WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio Boston, this is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Summer may not officially start until the 21st, but it is June, and we're in a summery mood. So this week we've got a show about the origins of wine, the wonder of fireflies, and even a summer reading list all about scientists. First, though, something a little harder hitting, high tide flooding. We saw it in dramatic style up and down the Massachusetts coastline during storms in January and March. In total, Boston saw a record-breaking 22 days of high tide flooding over the course of the past year. That's according to a new report from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. And lead author William Sweet says the frequency of coastal flooding has doubled, and it's a clear result of climate change.
Due to sea level rise, the national average trend in high tide flood frequency is now more than 50% higher than it was 20 years ago and 100% higher than it was 30 years ago.
In addition to rising sea level, New England faces a higher risk of tidal flooding due to winter storms. But another new analysis of tide gauge data reveals that the height of our high tides varies on about an 18-year cycle. We've just passed the peak of one of these cycles, which might help explain some of the record-breaking high tides we've observed recently. It also means we may have a slight reprieve from accelerating sea level rise over the next decade, giving us a window to prepare for extra high tides in the 2030s. Joining me now is the lead author of that study, Stefan Talke of Portland State University in Oregon. Stefan, welcome to the show.
Yes, hello.
We've seen about a foot of sea level rise over the past century. And then on top of that, we've got this 18 and a half year cycle that you've documented. How big an effect does it have?
Well, if you do an analysis and you look at, say, the once in 10-year storm magnitude in terms of water level, what you'll find is that over this 18-year cycle, you'll get around a 15-centimeter, give or take, so roughly half a foot difference in that 10-year event.
So almost 6 inches this cycle can add to how high our high tides are. That's pretty sizable.
That's right. And this is a known cycle in the moon, this 18-year nodal cycle, it's called. But what we did that was a little bit different is we documented storms or storm tides over the last 200 years, and we were able to get a large enough data set that you could actually statistically show that most of the large events that have happened over the last 200 years occurred during the peak of this nodal cycle when tides were larger than usual. And it's just a probability thing where once a month or so, you have extra large tides. But in some years, those extra large tides are larger. And if you happen to have a storm during that time period, then you're out of luck and you get flooding. So this pattern has been repeated over time. The difference is that now the sea level is larger. And so your tides are starting from a higher baseline. And that's what's causing the problem. And that's why we had flooding two times this year already in Boston. Due to the storms in January and March.
And that January storm in particular just barely edged out the blizzard of 78 for how high that tide was. And as you were just noting, it turns out that 1978 would have been close again to the peak of this cycle and having that extra, 4, 5, 6 inches of water because of this 18-year cycle.
Yeah, that's right. If you just multiply back in time, then you'll get to this that 1978 was near the peak of this cycle. There was a famous storm event in 1851, the Minnow Ledge Lighthouse event. That was also near the peak of this cycle. 1909, there was an event. All those events, 1978, 1909, and 1851, if they had happened this year, they would have been higher than the January event just because sea level rise is higher.
You said this is a well-known or well-understood effect. Can you explain how it actually works, why there's an 18-and-a-half-year cycle in how high our high tides actually get?
Yeah, so it has to do with cycles in the moon. So just like the sun over a year, it'll be high in the sky at this time of year as we get close to June 21st. And then in the wintertime, it'll be low in the sky. Well, the moon goes through that same cycle, but it goes over that cycle in a month. And so it would go plus and minus. But the variability in that plus and minus changes over an 18-year cycle. And that has a subtle effect on the gravitational attraction. And that's, of course, what drives the tides.
You picked out this 18-and-a-half-year pattern in a long record of tide gauge data from Boston Harbor specifically, but this can't be only affecting Boston. This has got to be a universal thing, right?
Yeah, and generally speaking, in the Northeast, you have relatively large tides to begin with. And so I would expect this to be a factor as you move further north as well, as you get higher tides in Portland, Maine, and moving into the Bay of Fundy.
So as you get bigger tides, you tend to get more variable tides?
Exactly. So there'll be this pronounced 18-year cycle in the tides just because the tides are bigger to begin with. So a small percentage change, like 3 to 5%, may have a big effect. As you move further south, the amplitude of the tides gets a little bit smaller. I would expect still to see the effect. But the other part of the story is that this is being driven by what are known as extratropical cyclones, so the nor'easters and so on. And those happen 8 or 10 times a year. As you go further south, at some point you're going to switch over into an area where those don't happen as often. And so for both of those reasons, this 18-year cycle is going to be probably spatially variable. We can hypothesize that it's there, but no one has gone through the work of trying to reconstruct the high water marks from storms in places like Charleston or Norfolk, Virginia, and to look at what the effect is. But I would expect it to be smaller.
Let's talk about what this means for our flood risk going forward, because we're just past that peak, and we've already said that probably means that contributed to our record-breaking flooding this past year. But as this effect wanes over the next 8 or 9 years, will that essentially balance out the acceleration of rising sea levels due to climate change? Could we actually see our sea level, or at least the height of our high tides, stay kind of steady over the next several years?
One might. I mean, it's a risk management kind of thing. So the probability of a really large tide goes down somewhat, and so therefore, if the storms stay the same storm will cause a lesser amount of flooding. And in Boston, about 2/3 of the high water above mean sea level is caused by the tide, and 1/3 is caused by the storm itself. And so could you get unlucky and have a really large storm hit in 5 years? Yes, of course. And so what we can say, however, is that the likelihood goes down a little bit. And so this decrease in risk from the tides will counteract a little bit the increased risk from having a higher baseline. But in reality, of course, there's going to be lots of other factors that that contribute, not only the meteorological factors, but also just what's happening locally, oceanographically, and so on. And so if you are thinking about planning or, you know, thinking about what to do, there's a little bit of a reprieve, you could say, potentially in the next 10 years. But then when the cycle turns around, then there will be a heightened risk going into the 2030s.
Kind of a rude awakening. I mean, this next decade could be, as you say, a bit of a reprieve and a space to plan and prepare if used wisely, or could perhaps lull us into a sense of complacency. And then all of a sudden in the 2030s, you've got this cycle on top of all of the sea level rise that's been happening along the way as well.
Yeah, and that is a definite possibility that something like that would happen. And again, with these storms, it's kind of like a roll of the dice. And when you have random events, they often cluster together like they did this year. And so, it's, you know, one can imagine that Boston could get lucky or the Northeast could get lucky, but they could also just as easily get unlucky. And so, yeah, I think it's just something to be aware of. And just also the idea that our risk is non-stationary, in other words, is changing over time, and that there's also natural fluctuations to this. I think that's an interesting new idea that could maybe help design better infrastructure or help inform how we make our decisions.
That's Stefan Talke of Portland State University in Oregon, lead author of a new analysis of tide gauge data from Boston Harbor that highlights an 18.5-year cycle and how dramatic our high tides are and what the risk of high tide flooding is. Stefan, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Up next, the relatively ignored diversity of wine grapes. Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.